Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to another week of Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema. We were previewing the conferences in college football last week. Had a lot of fun with that, but we didn't get to the Pac-12 because we had to pontificate on that week one preseason performances of all our boys, all our rookies that we just been dying for the last couple of months to see play.
They look good.
They did. It was what a fun first weekend for rookies.
It really was.
Encouraging. They'll all probably end up sucking, but I mean, first week was super encouraging first week. Before we jump into it, though, a message from SeatGeek for you guys. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated. There's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It is really the easiest way to buy tickets, folks. I mean, it organizes the information for you, helps you find the best value, fully guaranteed in case something happens. It just doesn't get any better. It doesn't get an easier way to buy tickets, especially in today's day and age and the million sites just... a place that can save you all that the time and money and all those steps. Really, really valuable to me. To get the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, our listeners get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. I've heard from a number of you in the past couple weeks buying preseason tickets. Some people even looking to buy something if they come over here from overseas and wanting to use this promo code. So listen up. Here's the promo code to get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LONFL today. That's promo code LONFL for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Make sure you guys check that out. Really good stuff from SeatGeek as always. Trav, we got to talk Pac-12 football.
And we do.
What a weird year. Last year was like USC kind of came out of nowhere. UCLA was supposed to be with Rosen and a new offense, and they were supposed to be a powerhouse, and they really wilted. I don't know if powerhouse is probably the wrong word, but they kind of wilted. USC kind of rose up. Washington was obviously tremendous last season, making the college football playoff. I thought they were one of the more fun teams to watch in the country. Now this year, definitely some changes headed in the division. Is this USC's, or I should keep saying division, I should say conference. Is this USC's conference to lose?
I am much more inclined to trust Sam Darnold than I am Jake Browning. But perhaps that's just the NFL 100%. Mindset. I think Jake Browning's a fine college quarterback, but there are plenty of fine college quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And so when I look at him in like an NFL, like with an NFL binoculars or whatever you want to call it, like my opinion of him gets a little soured.
You watch prospects through binoculars?
I do. Yeah. No, I stand like 25, 30 feet away from my computer just so I feel like a scout. You know, like that's how I feel like a scout. And I just like, I'll turn draft breakdown on and I'll just put the binoculars up.
Every time you talk about a prospect now, I'm just going to picture you like that.
Yeah, no. And I write it down on like a yellow notepad, right? I don't write anything on my computer. And it's all scribble, like nobody can understand it because my word is so important. Right. Anyway,
you sound very scoutish. you can tell people now on Twitter to hashtag watch more tape.
I stop watch people, that I view on my computer, not even in real life. So anyways,
Washington lost a ton though, right? I mean,
I don't even remember what I was talking about.
You were talking about Browning.
Yeah. Candy can arm Browning. People said his arm wasn't 100% last year towards the end of the year.
Like
at the beginning of the year, I know a bunch of people were like, oh, Jake Browning hype train, like Heisman. And there was some people doing that. And then as the year went on, I think he got hurt. I think his throwing arm got hurt. Yeah. But he never missed time. because of it. And so all I'm doing is, like, somebody who's from the East Coast is I'm sitting over here watching a quarterback who I think is fully healthy who is not good. And, like, going into that Alabama game that they played, I said to anyone, I was like, I don't care what the number is that Vegas puts out, bet it on Alabama.
Yeah.
They're going to destroy this kid.
Right.
And they did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they actually hung in there a little bit more than I thought they would at the beginning, but Alabama's
defensively, yeah, Washington hung in there. Offensively. Yeah. Woof.
So, I don't know. You know, you lose John Ross, but they have the running backs that they do still. So that's still going to be there with Gaskins and Gaskins is the receiver, but
Dante Pettis.
Yeah, and Pettis is there too. So
couple returners on the offensive line. I think Washington's still going to be a good team, but
okay. But I'm going to pick USC over them.
Right, 100%. I mean.
So
Washington's going to be tough to run against, especially in the interior, Vita Vey and Greg Gaines. I don't think – where's the pass rush going to come from? That was the big question last year when Joe Mathis went down. I think it's still somewhat of a question.
Right.
Victor and Bierra, if they're kept clean, they're okay. You know, they can be solid players in the college level. But the cornerbacks, I mean, there's a lot of to replace guys like Sidney Jones and Kevin King, and not only them, but Buddha Baker as well.
Yeah, Buddha Baker too. Like, Taylor Rapp, revamp of the secondary.
Right, but some of these guys played last year. Like JoJo McIntosh played in the box. Taylor Rapp played a good bit. They would play three safeties a lot. I like those guys. Some of the things they did, but yeah, it's a total. I mean, to lose your three best players for sure, and your three best NFL prospects, even if these guys end up being really good, I think. That's going to be a lot for a secondary to have to bounce back from. So, and they didn't beat USC last year. So, you know, another year for Darnold. He's got tons of weapons. You know, I just look at USC and, man, I think Deontay Burnett's going to be a beast. I know he lost a couple guys in the passing game, but still some really good receivers out there for him to throw to. Ronald Jones is going to be taking on the full workload. I like him a lot. A pretty experienced offensive line in front of Darnold. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I think you've got some, you know, Porter Gustin's a guy that's picking up some NFL hype, Cameron Smith, an inside backer. So you've got some talent there too. Imon Marshall, we had Jonah Tulls on a couple weeks ago talking about Imon Marshall and how good he thinks he can be. So do I think either of these teams is like Florida State, Alabama level? No, but I think USC is more likely to be in the college football playoff than Washington and more likely to win this conference, I think, than Washington.
No, I'm with you. I'm totally with you there, and I don't know. I think it's obvious that people are going to pick Washington to finish second in the conference. But
you think that I've seen some sites, man, that have Washington winning it. I don't know.
I'm tempted to say that like Oregon might finish better than Washington.
Wow, I don't see what's going on with Oregon. I wouldn't. Even
I just like Will, I like Willie Taggart a lot, and you know, I'm trying to not be biased because he came from right where I'm from here at USF. But like, I watched what he did with the USF program, and he got a lot of talent in there. And not only that, like he did a lot offensively with them. And having Justin Herbert and Royce Freeman, that he immediately gets to go to.
Right.
The defense is going to be suspect, but like the defense is suspect everywhere in the Pac-12. Sure. So when I read that somewhere, it's like, okay, well, I already assumed that you didn't have to write it. So if you have a good offense and you're doing the most with the offense and you score enough points, I think you have a chance in the Pac-12, and Oregon and Washington are in that same division. They're in that North division. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Oregon, I don't know if they beat Stanford though, cause I forgot Stanford's in that division. So maybe they won't finish second. But I say all that to say I like Willie Taggart a lot as a coach. I think he did a lot of really great things with the offense that he was given at South Florida, which is basically like fourth or fifth in the pecking order in Florida recruiting. So now he gets to go to Oregon. Oregon's got all kinds of recruiting pipeline, and they already have a good thing set up with him getting there. So I can see them putting up enough points to win some games that people originally thought they might not win.
Yeah, I think that you're right. They will be better. I also like Taggart. You obviously know more there than I do, but I do like Taggart as well. And I think that having Royce Freeman back could be huge for that team. And if you look across, I mean, Washington State's going to be explosive on offense, but we talk about the defense every year. You know, I feel like they're back a little more experienced, but yeah.
It's not as bad as the Big 12.
But.
But yeah, anything with 12 in it.
I would say the depth is right? Like, I mean, Stanford's had some good defenses.
Sure.
USC's had some pieces. Washington was great, but
then it drops off. Last year.
Oregon, UCLA to an extent, although I feel like there were some mixed, they have some talent, but it doesn't seem like these teams ever dominate defensively like anyone.
Yeah.
last year was actually probably a better year than most years because Colorado's defense was also pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was a bit, but California, how many times are you going to see those guys play defense? So yeah, I do think you're right that Oregon will be better this season. I think Stanford will be better also, but last year was, I mean, you could see how big everything, you know, McCaffrey, when he was not carrying the offense last year, because teams were so keyed into him, that was, everything ran through that man. Like they didn't have anything on offense. And so now without him there at all, I kind of worry a little bit. I think they have some talented individuals, but they need...
Well, anytime you lose a guy who's literally like the entire offense,
right,
something's got to change. And right, there's always like, it's always a mystery. Stanford has plenty of talent. I mean, it's still Stanford. They've been recruiting well for years. And I think they have, you know, the majority of the areas you would want on the team shored up, you know, the, like, I think the defense is fine. Like the secondary and the linebackers that Stanford has are good. The O-line is fine. I don't think that's going to be a problem at all, but you're right. That guy who the entire game plan was built around is no longer there. So you can't, like, even if they have a talented kid that they are, have the plans to make the focal point of it, like, it can't be exactly the same of whatever Christian McCaffrey was. So it's still going to be a mystery. So you're right. Stanford has plenty of talent, but you still don't know. It's not really a, there's not really a clear vision of where they're going to go after Christian McCaffrey.
I think you could talk me into picking Washington State or UCLA to finish third. I think you could talk me into that. Just in a surprise year where I think some other teams are down. You don't think? No chance.
I mean, I like, look, man, and we'll talk about, I mean, we're talking about Rosen when we talk about UCLA. That's everything. And I like Rosen,
but he's going to be a lot better this year.
He has to be, right?
I think he will be. I think he'll be very good.
Right. So, like, that's the thing with him. So, I thought Rosen had a nice freshman year. I thought people really overblew it. Really.
100% agree.
And then, obviously, you know, was not 100% in health or 100% himself with health and performance and all that kinds of stuff. So, in his sophomore year. So, like, this is kind of a
– I think you're going to see a Matt Ryan-like – second year in this offense.
Which kind of Matt Ryan? What are we talking about here?
Like last year, Matt Ryan. Like how, you know, how his first year with Kyle Shanahan, Matt Ryan struggled. And, you know, people were like, oh, should we draft somebody else? He's the fourth best quarterback in the South. See the latest block. And then I think.
The national championship and then lose.
And then lose. They're up 28-3 and then they lose to Alabama.
That's what he's okay.
That's what I'm predicting. No, okay. I don't think they'll go that far, but I think that they, could finish. They'll finish third or fourth in the Pac-12. So I don't know if that's a bold statement or not.
Like, okay, so obviously it's broken up into North and South division. So you think the UCLA will be the third highest ranked team?
Yes,
because it's split up a little different.
Right.
Okay.
I'm trying to think through now.
I very much disagree with you, but okay.
Where do you think they'll? You think they'll finish fifth or unranked?
I think USC, Washington, Stanford, Oregon, and then I don't know. Like Washington State's kind of just this big wild card, but like I don't think UCLA finishes any higher than the fourth or I'm going to say fifth ranked Pac-12 team.
I think they're second in the Pac-12 South. I think. Yeah. Second in the Pac-12 South. I feel good about that. USC, UCLA.
That's fair. The South's trash.
Yeah, it is. the North is going
out on a limb.
Hey, the North's going to be Washington State, Stanford. Then Oregon. Oregon's going to be fourth. No.
Get out.
Yep.
That's
how it's going to happen. Yep. I just prayed about it. That's what's going to happen. Oregon's going to be fourth. Oregon State's going to finish last. There's a bold prediction for you.
The Pac-12 North is going to be like the SEC West has been for years, where it's like, hey, there are three or four more deserving teams to play in the SEC championship game than any team in the SEC East. And then that's not how it ends up.
Maybe after UCLA or USC, maybe. But
Arizona State's basically just going to be, we hope it's going to be just hand the ball to Balazs. Right. So. But yep, it has not been that in the past, yep. So we'll see.
It's a big question mark there. And Utah's got to undergo some changes too. I thought they Utah and Colorado to an extent. You know, I feel like Utah's kind of in that middle ground right now, like somewhere in the middle of the Pac-12 in general, where I think they're going to be well coached and do some good things. They always seem to be pretty good against the run.
I just forgot about this. Blake Barnett transferred to Arizona State. So now they have quarterback too. He was a former five-star who played at Alabama very briefly. And then
did he actually play? I don't remember.
I think he played like a drive, basically. Like what you would think is. Because there was a point to where I'm pretty sure there was a quarterback battle between Blake Barnett and Jalen Hurts. And Hurts beat him out. And then Blake Barnett wasn't going to sit there. You know?
Well, if Hurts beat you out, I don't know how excited I am about you. But I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe he's just Jalen Hurts is so much okay, but like he is so much better for college football.
That's true. Depending on what you're doing offensively,
you don't have to sit in the pocket. Right. It's not as good.
Just have him run it. Maximize your run game. That's your strength anyway.
I mean, they went to the national championship with him.
Yep. And one of the best defenses of all freaking time. Did you know there's another Jordan Howard? Utah has a Jordan Howard on the roster, and he plays running back.
Like his name's Jordan Howard?
Like his name is Jordan Howard. And he plays running back. So I don't know what the odds of that are. I mean, Jordan Howard's not like a really uncommon name, but it's just funny that he actually plays running back too. And wonder if they're the same size. They're like twins. 5'10", 210. That sounds like what Jordan Howard is.
Let me look. Jordan Howard.
While you look, I'll pontificate on the rest. I've used pontificate twice, and I don't even remember ever saying that word. I've used it twice on this podcast, so... You can just tell.
How big was the other Jordan Howard?
He was 5'10", 210.
Okay. The real Jordan Howard is
the other one's
6 foot, 230.
No.
That's what it says on NFL.com.
Wait, the NFL draft scout look at. That's the real indicator.
All right, pontificate more. Hold on.
What else do we have to say about the Pac-12? Colorado? I don't know what – I mean, without Cephalufau, they're going to have to rely on
– NFL Draft Scout says 6 foot 230.
6 foot 230.
Hold on. Let me see what the Bears say.
I didn't realize he was that big. I don't think he looks that big. So they're about the same height, but this guy's like
– All right. So the Bears list him as 6'1". So we know that's not true. So he's 6 foot.
That's definitely a lie.
He's 6 foot, but the Bears say that he is 222. So he could be 6 foot 220. So he's about an inch taller, and he's got 10 pounds on the fake Jordan Howard.
I can't even find the fake Jordan Howard's bio or anything. So he may actually be a fake Jordan Howard.
Maybe it's the real Jordan Howard who just likes college football a lot and figured no one would find him on Utah's roster.
Maybe he's done full and double duty. We didn't even know about it. All right, we got to wrap up the Pac-12 before we get even further off base, if that's humanly possible, than we already have. But, you heard it here first here. UCLA is finishing third overall, the third-ranked team in the conference. Finishing second in the Pac-12, and then in the Pac-12 North, you're going to have Washington State, Oregon, and then Stanford. I'm calling – really disappointing year for Stanford. That's my final answer.
USC versus Oregon Pac-12 title. What's up?
Ain't gonna happen. That's fake news right there. We'll be back tomorrow. We got quarterback rankings heading your way. Yes, you heard it here. Quarterback rankings for the 2018 NFL draft from both of us. We'll give you our top fives tomorrow right here on the show. Make sure you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.